Greg Zahn joins us from Sportsnet. Hello, Zahn. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Happy to be back and working?
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah, sure. Thousands.
I'm off today, though.
Why?
The Jays aren't playing. I can't analyze something that isn't happening.
They don't have a game tonight?
No, they're playing tomorrow in Arizona. Unless I'm completely remiss and I totally screwed up. Today's Monday, right?
You might be getting a text anytime.
Oh. Yeah, Dave Treadon's going to be like, where are you? No, I'm pretty sure today's Monday and they're off.
All right. I know they play an afternoon game on Wednesday afternoon. They have Wednesday afternoon game. So
yeah.
I know that because I was just told that we get the day off that day. So yay to us.
Sweet.
How come you baseball guys can't work a whole year? You have to take time off during the middle of the season. Like Martinez is now off for a period of time.
Well, it's a grind, I think.
No, it's not.
Mentally.
No, it's not.
You don't think so?
No, well, I used to do Jays talk 162 days a year. And I used to do, and I go to spring training for 7 weeks. And now they wouldn't play in the postseason back then, but I did shows even through the postseason because we carried those games. I did every day. I didn't take time off. You guys are a bunch of wimps.
You've been making up for that, though.
I haven't done every day since my first year at the network.
Well, you're lucky.
Yeah.
Somebody has convinced management here that broadcasting every day is harder than playing every day.
Well, none of the players do that either, so.
No, they play most days.
Holy, yeah, they play most days, but it's hilarious.
Anything come from this Oakland series that gives you pause, gives you concern? You know, first look after the All-Star break, they blew leads in every game, managed to win one of the three. What does any of this mean? Nothing?
Well, I hope it serves as a wake-up call, to be honest with you. I wasn't thrilled with the pitching, but, you know, I understand. You know, especially with regards to Stroman, two steps forward, one step back. It's not easy. It's not easy being a big league pitcher. And you know what? He's figuring out that he doesn't have it all figured out, and that's a good thing. So it was nice to see him, you know, win that third game. But, you know, something happened in that third game that really, really gave me pause. How is it that Junior Lake is a Major League Baseball player and doesn't understand the concept of a sacrifice bunt high ball game in the seventh inning?
I know.
First and second, nobody. He actually tried to bunt for a base hit and failed miserably. I don't get it. Like, do they not know how the game is played or how it's been played for, you know, 1,000 years or whatever, however long they've been, you know, doing this? It's mind-boggling.
Well, there is no answer for stupidity. You know, I mean, that's the problem. And we try and look for one, but there never is one. Stupid is and as stupid does. And look, he's not a major league player. He's a AAA player who's here. I guess you got to give other guys days off. I get that. And Batista's out right now. But, I mean, the minute Batista comes back, Lake has gone back to AAA. And with any luck, we won't see him again. But you're right.
I wasn't even talking about the performance. Don't even.
No, I know. Just
on the inability of a major league player to bunt. But the concept of understanding the difference between a sacrifice and a bunt for a base hit situation.
I know.
That's the part that really bothers me. You're going to have good days and bad days out there on the mound. There was one and another move in that last game. Why did they send the hat back out for the sixth inning? He had a mouse in his forearm, and he was already qualified for the win. It didn't make any sense to me whatsoever for him to be back out there pitching the sixth, and he ends up not getting the chance to win the game because he goes out there with a bad forearm and gives up the three runs that cost him a chance to win his 13th ball game.
Well,
there's no reason to send him out there.
Well, okay, so you spent years and years in the dugout as a catcher. What is the likelihood that the manager went over to him, asked him how he was, and he said, "I'm fine, I can keep going, Skip"?
Oh, why would you even bother?
Well, I mean, are you saying to me it never happens?
It happens all the time, but I got a lot of respect for what J.A. Happ's doing right now. But he doesn't exactly have, you know, a 10-year career of you know, being the warhorse, you know, being that guy like a Roy Halladay.
Understand.
Where you say, do you have anything left? We're talking about a guy who just recently started pitching effectively in the major leagues. And he had a huge welt on his forearm I mean, to me, that was, you know, you say all you want about, you know, believing in the guy, but the point is, he's got 12 wins for this club. He's a huge part of this team, and he had a mouse in his forearm. It was time for him to come out of that ball game. You got to take the decision away from him. You can't allow him to. Of course, he's going to say, "Yeah, I can go." I mean, what guy would you? What guy would say no? And if it does say no, why would you want him on your team?
Greg, staying with Hap a little bit. It was interesting watching. He took that one off the forearm, and I guess he comes out again, and he takes it kind of one off the behind or near it or wherever yeah. it might have been. And you know, it was only, a couple of years ago, right, in his first turn with the Jays, maybe 2-3 years ago, and he was off to a decent start and out of spring training, and he just took that awful one off the head and ended up getting knocked out and hurts his knee, really, is which kept him out the longest. But so just as a baseball person, the experience you've had, is there any possibility when a ball comes back like that, maybe even once or even twice in a game, given his background, that it's like almost flashbacks for somebody like that? I mean, it was for me watching it. How do players get over that? How do they deal with it?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's either gonna bother you psychologically or it's not. I mean, every pitcher that goes out there, they understand the risks. In fact, I don't think anybody could pitch long enough, get to the big leagues, and not have comebackers hit them at some point during their lives. So I look at it like, okay, here's a guy who, you know, had the unfortunate situation happen, but he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's been totally affected by it. I had a teammate named Andy Larkin with the Marlins, and he got hit in the face. And every time he threw a pitch, that glove hand flinched. It didn't matter whether the guy swung or not. He flinched every single time after he got hit in the face, and it ruined his career. And I don't see that with J.A. Happ. I see a guy who's out there pitching aggressively, a guy who doesn't seem to be bothered. And I'm not saying that he wouldn't have given up the three runs in that sixth inning had he been, you know, completely normal and not been struck by a line drive. But there was just, in my opinion, no reason to send him back out there for it. He'd already qualified for the win. He seems to be really on a roll so far this year. And I personally wouldn't have risked it.
The Tulo banged out another one, 16. He's got, I think, 8 in his last 23 games. Had to be a pretty good feeling from a Jays perspective to see him come out of the break and kind of no ill effects.
Yeah. No, it is, especially for me, because, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, Gibby had the famous, you know, suck on it to all the Tulo haters. But you know, he's right. When you look at a guy like Tulo, you look at the back of the baseball card. Look at where he's at in his career. This was only a matter of time before this guy got going. He's a ball player. He's going to be a ball player forever. And this guy, he's got the goods. This is not a fluke. I mean, he's thought of as the best shortstop in the game for a reason. The guy can do it all at the shortstop position. So for me, I say, you know, only a matter of time. And, you know, it was a great at bat. He's down 0-2. All he's looking for is a pitch out over the plate and up to drive to the middle of the field. He got what he was looking for, and he put wood on it. It brings to mind, you know, some of the other fellows on the club that are, you know, they're getting their fastballs and fastball counts, and they're not squaring them up. They're not putting a barrel on the baseball. To me, which suggests that they're either not ready, don't have a plan, or just not committed. Tulo, right now, he looks like he's committed. He looks like he's locked in, and can't say enough about that pearl at bat right there.
With Greg Zahn. So Rich Hill goes to the mound yesterday, and there's a whole whack of scouts there because Hill is, of course, a centerpiece in the trade discussions with the Oakland A's, and there are all the scouts lined up in the stands, and he throws five pitches and gets a boo-boo. His finger, and out he goes, and the scouts are looking at each other and say, well, now what the hell do we do? And a couple of them apparently went and played golf. So what do you think? So you're a scout, you're a general manager for a team, and you're looking for pitching help, and there's this 36-year-old who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, and he's having a good year, but he's got now a couple of issues with blisters. How do you ignore that and still go after him, or do you scratch your head and go, now what do we do?
Depends on what the price tag is. to me.
Well, the price tag is high because
it's going to be high.
Well, because they allegedly asked the Red Sox for Anderson Espinosa.
Well, they're gonna be in that position. It's a seller's market right now, so they can afford to act like that.
Sure.
But when it gets brass tacks time on say July 31st now, because I think the deadline's August 1st. You're gonna see a change in tune if they haven't made a deal yet. So if I was a scout, if I was another team if I was one of those guys looking for some help, I would totally be, you know, looking to make a deal, but I'd be buyer beware kind of situation, because that blister thing, it's a chronic thing. Guys,
that's
guys,
my point.
It's a chronic thing. No, that's a great point. But I know guys that blister, and it's usually the guys with the nasty curveballs because of the way the seams rip off of that finger.
Right.
And, you know, there are all kinds of legendary stories about how to deal with blistering and stuff in baseball. It's the stuff of lore, so to speak. But, you know, it usually comes down to, you know, something internal where the skin just is always dry and whatnot. I just don't understand. You know, you see R.A. Dickey taking care of his hands all the time because he can't throw a knuckleball without his fingernails.
That's right.
So why isn't Rich Hill taking care of his skin? Why isn't he doing everything that he can possibly do at all times? If I was him, I'd be walking around with gloves on, you know, with moisturizer gloves on, because that's how you make your money. I mean, it might look silly to a lot of people, but when you're talking about the ability to make, you know, eight figures in a year pitching, you probably want to wear some gloves.
Well, we know that the problem didn't happen instantaneously yesterday. He had the problem previously, thought he was good enough to pitch with it.
Yeah.
And that was the mistake. Now, was he under pressure by Oakland management to get back out there? I have no idea.
Yeah, we don't know. I don't imagine that they would send him back. Yeah, they bumped him back. He was supposed to start the first game after the break.
That's right, and they bumped him back 2 days.
They bumped him back a couple of days. I don't know why they wouldn't just skip him. They're not going anywhere. And you know what? He's got blister problems. Let him clean that up, because now you just set him back. There's no way he's going to be ready to go in 5 days.
Does the smoke contract, the 2-year deal, surprise you at all?
No, I don't. I think it's a tremendous deal for the Blue Jays. They picked his pocket, in my opinion, because Justin Smoke is one 30 home run season away from being a $10 to $15 million a year player. He's already a premium defender at first base. He's coming into his own as a hitter. He's a little bit of a late bloomer, but same thing happened with Chris Davis, and you see flashes of it from Smoke. If I was him and his representative, I would have never given the Jays that third year option at below industry average. The average salary for a first baseman in the big leagues is $6.5 million.
Right.
That's average. We're not even taking into account the premium guys, and he's going to be under contract for a third year at below industry average, and he gave it to him. That's to me, that was loved. If I would have took 2 years, if I was him too, but I would have never given him a third year.
Last question. Chris Colabello makes a start with Buffalo, we assume, tonight. If Colabello hits like crazy, what do you do?
Well, there's no room for him. Where is he going to play?
I'm asking you.
No, he goes to AAA. When his rehab assignment's over, my gut tells me the Jays are going to park him in AAA in case somebody gets hurt. They can't use him for the postseason, so why would they want to become dependent on Chris Colabello in any way, shape, or form? I would just send him back to AAA and wait and see if somebody gets hurt.
If he tears it up, is he a potential trade chip?
But it doesn't make any difference. He's ineligible for the postseason. Why would anybody want him? They can't use him until next year.
Yeah, and first basemen are kind of like pretty girls. There'll be another one along every 5 minutes.
He doesn't hit like Manny Ramirez, so he can't put him in the outfield.
Yeah,
he doesn't hit 35 and drives in 135. He's a good hitter, but he's not Manny Ramirez, so he can't play the outfield. And if he's playing first base, that's because you don't have another option.
Are you Do you have any sense about where Marco Estrada is and is going to be the rest of this year? Back issues are a dangerous, dangerous thing for any athlete. I had back issues for many years, eventually got it fixed and haven't had any, knock on wood, for about 25 years. But I used to have trouble walking upstairs. My back was so bad. I don't know how bad his are, but there's a high risk here.
He's got a bulging disc.
Yeah.
He's got a bulging disc. So, I'm no doctor, but from what I remember, bulging discs can, either be managed with stabilization of the core, or they go in and surgically trim it. Obviously, you don't want to do that.
Can't do that now.
So, no, you can't do that now. So, it comes down to managing pain with core stabilization. For me, if you're working on stabilizing your core in July for a baseball season, you're a few months too late.
Oh, no kidding.
I'd be a little worried.
Yeah, I think it's a problem that we haven't spent enough time, or a potential problem we haven't spent enough time focusing on.
They're damned if they do, damned if they don't, Bob. It's like,
well, I know, but
the guys that are in amazing shape with the six pack abs, they're pulling obliques left and right.
Yeah, I know.
The guy doesn't stabilize before,
right.
He's got an unstable back. I don't know what the right answer is. I just, we used to eat a lot of cheeseburgers and drink beer, and we didn't seem to have back problems and pull obliques.
No, I hear you. Well, I ate cheeseburgers before my back was bad, and I ate cheeseburgers afterwards. It didn't seem to impact my back whatsoever.
Yeah, so. I think it's a genetic thing.
Thank you very much. Zahn, behave yourself, and we'll hear you tomorrow.
Okay, bro.
See
you. Take care.